Blessed be God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with many spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus before the world began. Amen. The word of God upon which our meditation is based is found in the 11th chapter of the Gospel of St. John, and we begin our reading with the 27th verse. Jesus answered them, I told you, and you do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But you do not believe because you are not of my sheep. As I said to you, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. My Father who hath given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. In the name of the risen Christ, my dear Christian friends, in the old church year, which has been used for centuries in the Roman Catholic and the Lutheran and Episcopalian Church, the second Sunday after Easter was known as Misericordias Domini, the goodness of the Lord. That name was derived from the opening words of the Latin introit. However, the Sunday is also known as the Lord's Day of the Good Shepherd. Just why this particular designation was applied to this Sunday has puzzled liturgiologists. It seems that in the post-Easter season and in the Sundays up to the fifth Sunday after Trinity, they seem to have used a continuous series of readings from the general epistles. And it just so happened possibly that the epistle from the first letter of Peter in chapter 2, 21 and 25, which is the appointed epistle lesson, speaks of the Good Shepherd. In both the Old and New Testament, God is very often compared to the Good Shepherd, and his followers are called the sheep. There comes to mind, for instance, the 23rd Psalm, probably the most famous Psalm of the Psalter, Psalm of David, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Or we think of the beautiful statement in the book of Isaiah, where God, or some even think that this was spoken about Christ, we read in chapter 40, verse 11, he will feed his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs in his bosom and gently lead them who are with young. Or we think of the beginning of the Psalm 74, which says, why does your anger smoke against the sheep of your pasture? We think of in the New Testament of the beautiful scene, one of the post-resurrection appearances of Jesus, where in the seas of the shore of Galilee, he said to Peter, restoring him again to his apostleship, feed my sheep, feed my lambs, feed my sheep. And Christ himself in the Gospel of St. John used this analogy where he spoke of himself as the Good Shepherd and his followers as the sheep. One of the most famous parables, of course, is the one in Luke 15, the parable of the lost sheep. It's also interesting that in the great eschatological discourse of Christ in Matthew 24 and 25, Jesus says, all nations shall be gathered before him, and he will separate them from one another as a shepherd divides sheep from goats. So it is very common in Scripture to designate followers as sheep, the little followers as lambs, and those who reject him as goats. The 11th chapter of John contains a great deal about Christ as a good shepherd. The text that was just read to you was not spoken at the same time as the famous parable in the beginning of the chapter, which was uttered in connection with the Feast of Tabernacles, while the words which I just read to you, which are incidentally the theme for this entire chapel services, was spoken a number of months later in connection with the Feast of Dedication, when the Jews commemorated the cleansing of the temple in the year 165 BC. As I look at these beautiful words, which we want to briefly meditate, I would say they speak about the relationship between Christ the Good Shepherd and his sheep. And there are two major ideas which are set forth in these words of our Lord. First of all, how does one become a member of Christ's sheepfold or of his flock? And secondly, what are the great blessings which come to those who have become members of Christ's flock? If you will read the context of our text, you will find that Jesus accused the Jews of not believing on him and rejecting him as the Good Shepherd. As we think of this subject of the relationship between Christ, the Good Shepherd, and his flock, we ask ourselves, well, how does a person become a member of the flock? Because one can go astray. In fact, Peter says, you were like sheep going astray, but have now returned to the shepherd of your souls. Christ tells us that you become a member of his flock by hearing his word. Now, the Gospel of St. John has a lot to say about believing, and again, if you will take the trouble of reading the 11th chapter, you'll find that hearing his word amounts to believing in him. It means that you accept his claims, that he came to seek and to save that which was lost, that he came to die for every person's sin. It also involves that a person commit himself wholeheartedly and totally to Jesus Christ. And when a person properly hears the Good Shepherd, he will also follow him. So there are really two aspects involved. First of all, accepting Christ as one's Savior who has paid the ransom for one's redemption, and secondly, to follow him as to how one is supposed to live, to follow the directions which he has given for life here upon earth. Now, of course, when Jesus lived, he spoke orally, he spoke verbally. Today we cannot hear the voice of Jesus orally, but we do hear it in the scriptures, in the scripture and revelation of God, where Christ comes to us, because that word is living and it can produce, first of all, the law can reproduce sorrow for sin, repentance, and it can also create faith in Christ. And so when that takes place, then you have become a member of Christ's flock. And now, what are the wonderful blessings and the gifts which the Good Shepherd gives us? Well, he says, first of all, my sheep hear my voice. I'd like to just concentrate for a minute on this word my, because my indicates ownership. My means that when a person became a member of Christ's flock, he entered into a unique relationship with Jesus Christ. He now belongs to him. Christ controls his life. And we belong to Christ, first of all, because he has created us. We belong to Christ because he has redeemed us. We belong to Christ because the Father has given us to Christ. We belong to Christ because the Holy Spirit has created faith in our lives. So we have this wonderful honor that we belong to one of the most famous personages in the history of mankind, namely to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And Jesus says, my sheep who hear his voice and follow him, that he knows them. He knows them. Usually people are very much honored if they can say about some very important and prestigious individual, I know that person. Now, Christ knows us. He knows us intimately. He knows our problems. He knows what we need. And here again, we have something which we ought never forget. It's a great honor that the Lord of the universe takes notice of us. Remember, there are 4.5 billion people in the world, and yet of these 4.5 billion, each one of us is known by the Lord Jesus Christ, the Good Shepherd of the flock. The world may ignore us. We may be insignificant to most people, but you are not insignificant and you are not unimportant to the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, what an honor has been bestowed upon us that he speaks of us as, I know them. Furthermore, because we are members of Christ's flock and because Christ has purchased us with his precious blood, he now gives us eternal life. Eternal life is a life which begins in this life and continues beyond the grave. The Apostle Paul has well put it when he said, if a man be in Christ, he is a new creation, he is a new creature. Behold, all things have passed away. We have a new outlook upon life. We have a new perspective. We have a new hope. And eternal life also means that even though we have to die, yet in a sense we won't die, because we will live eternally, and as a result of Christ's resurrection from the dead, we're going to be raised according to body and soul on the great day of judgment to be with him and to enjoy what has been called the beatific vision of God. Yes, he gives unto us eternal life. And the final beautiful promise that is given to us here is that nothing in the world can make us lose our eternal salvation, because he says very clearly and very specifically, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand, they shall never perish. We sometimes have doubts whether or not we're going to remain faithful in the faith, but the Lord Jesus Christ, if we every day repent of our sins, drown the old Adam with all its sins and lusts, and every day repent and put our faith in Christ, we have the guarantee that nothing in the world will be able to rob us of our eternal happiness and of our eternal salvation. We are in the hands of Jesus. However, I would just like to briefly remark that this text has sometimes been used to support the idea that if you're once saved, you're always saved. It's been called the perseverance of the saints. My friends, this is not true, because we're told by Scripture, by Paul, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. We know of people who were recorded in Scripture, both the Old and New Testament, who were once in the flock of God, in the flock of Christ, and fell away. So let us not make the mistake of thinking that we can do whatever we want to, that once we have been saved, we're always saved. No, we have to constantly follow the Lord Jesus Christ and live the Christian life. This morning, my good friends, we have looked at a very beautiful text of Scripture, and I would like to conclude by a statement that was written some years ago, about 60 years ago, by one of my former professors at St. Louis. And he said about these verses that we discussed this morning, this glorious, comforting passage is of such beauty and power that it should be memorized by every Christian for use against the wily attacks of the devil and his allies. We are safe in the hands of our Heavenly Father and of Jesus Christ, his Son, our Savior. Amen. Now may the God of peace, who brought back our Lord Jesus Christ from the dead, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you complete in every good work to do his will, working in you what is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen.